With so much on your mind right now, the safety of your family and business should not be one of them. Safe and Secure Worldwide Protection Group's goal is to keep you and the things you love safe. From patrolling your small business and neighborhood to guarding large construction sites and shopping centers, we are here to protect you. That's why we were selected as security for the last three presidential elections. Safe and Secure Worldwide Protection Group. We worry about your security, so you don't have to.
Till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it
for African people, nothing important happens without a libation. And so for this very important presentation, we begin by the pouring of libation. We pour libation first to our first ancestor, to that hidden one who, though hidden, manifests in all things as all things, that God-goddess idea in the universe by any and all names. To our first ancestor, we pour libation, Ashe. We pour libation too to our ancestors because they were the first people on this planet, mothers and fathers of all mankind, flashpoint of the human family. To those ancestors we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation too to our ancestors because they were the ones who first gave birth to the idea of civilization, knew we would need a form of governance, and they nurtured that idea along the Nile until it reached its zenith in Kemet. There they built these gigantic monuments as evidence of that great civilization. And they carved instructions on the walls of temples and tombs for us, so we would never forget. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to our ancestors, because over time they put together all the tenets of civilization, and they took those ideas and left the continent. They were the people of the first Exodus. They left Africa and went all over the world and peopled the world. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. We pour libation, too, to our ancestors because they did not sit on their laurels. They continued to improve, continued to evolve. And at each point of evolution, they again would leave the continent and settle and resettle the planet. They met themselves coming and going. To those ancestors, we pour libation. Ashe. Pour libation, too, to those ancestors because over time, they found themselves the object of a forced exodus. When they were kidnapped, shackled, cargoed, shipped out of Africa and enslaved in diasporas around the world. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to the ancestors left at home, the very young, the aged, the infirm, left to reinvent themselves, depleted of us, human resources. But they were enjoined by us in the diasporas, both objects of a global myopia that ruptured the soul of a people as it ravaged a continent. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to those ancestors because over time, they began to remember who and what they were. Because no matter where they had been dropped off, They still retained bits and pieces of who and what they were. They retained that African core that described them. They began to remember bits and pieces of a song. They began to remember lines from a rhythm. They began to remember dances that they did in ancient times. They began to remember those ancient drum beats that they now beat out on bare skin. And so to those ancestors, we pour libation, our shame. Pour libation too to them, because they then began to teach each other. They began to resurrect and reconstruct that history and that culture. They became the new Africans wherever they were. They became the new teachers, preachers, archaeologists, the new singers, dancers, the new drummers, the new Jalia. They reconstructed that history and our culture and became new Africans everywhere. So to those ancestors, we pour libation. I shame. Pour libation to those ancestors, because they are the ones who passed that information on to us. And so we pour libation to those of you who will watch this presentation, those of you who are the recipients of that pieced together history, of that reconstructed culture. To you, we pour libation, our shame. Pour libation to our children and those yet to be born, for they are the ones that you must teach, and you can only teach if you know the history. So to you who are learning the history and are passing on that history, and to our children who are learning that history and will pass that history on to all eternity, but they will call your name in all eternity. To our children, we pour libation. Ashe. Ashe. Asheo.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go and what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long judgment day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand.
do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. No, 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 no. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Change it, yeah. Change it. Can't do it alone. Can't do it alone.
Need some help, y'all. Y'all.
Can't do it alone. Can't do it alone. Yeah. Yeah.
Wake up, everybody. Wake up,
everybody. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help.
You are listening to Melanin Live with host Chief Lance Jones. Melanin Live radio broadcast is an affiliate of Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the TimeForAwakening.com video platform. Reach out to them at melaninlive@yahoo.com. All of our programs are archived. Just go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, type in the name of the program you desire to review.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of Melanin Live. And I'm your host, Lance Jones. And my assistant, my co-host will be on shortly. But we're going to dive right into it. And first, let me say to you, I hope you all had a wonderful day, a very prosperous day, an achieving day. And as I have, as you know, I hope that for you every day. That is my prayer to each one of you. We had a wonderful conversation last week, and I'm glad that we had a wonderful conversation last week. And well, my mic was muted. I'm sorry. Welcome to Melanin Live. I'm Lance Jones, your host. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We have a few folks on with us. I'm tongue-tied. It's been a long day. Few folks on with us. Now we're going to. As the numbers grow, we'll get engaged into our discussion this evening. Want to thank all of you, though, for the last show, last Thursday. Very thought-provoking. The more we asked questions, the more we answered. The more we answered, the more questions we had. It is, when we talk about subjects that relate to African Americans and those of our family on the continent throughout the diaspora, it just makes one think of where we are today. Begin to ask questions. Where are we today as a people? Has education been the great equalizer? Last week we talked about are Americans or are Black people vulnerable to terrorism? Our frailties. Who are Black leaders today? And we had a very good discussion around that topic. Can we be the world leaders? If it is said that Caucasian Americans in 21 years will be the minority in the United States, which suggests then that African Americans will be the majority, and others, Latinos, will be the majority. Are we ready for world leadership? Can we put aside our differences, our religious, ideological, political differences to see each other as one people? So tonight I want to talk, I want to expand upon the that last discussion we were having last week, and I'll get my tongue together, but the discussion was very fruitful. So I want to pick up on it and talk about, again, education, those of us who have our doctorates, our masters, and so on and so forth. Has that been the great equalizer for Black people in America and throughout the world? They say, as I grew up as a young man, my mom would say, get an education, get a government job. Is that sentiment still echoed today? And should we be talking that way today? Get a government job, get an education. Should we be asking what type of education? Not just education, because all of us have been educated. All of us have been given an education or matriculated in institutions of higher learning, but the lessons have not been about us, nor our history. Nor what we've learned, have we been able to parlay all that we've learned as a people, having received the degrees from these American universities, has it benefited us as a group of people? Have we spread it further? Have we spread further apart? I want to do have some discussions tonight. There's some critical thinking about where we are, where we have to go, what we must do to get there. Thinking out of the box about integration policies. They said that in this last election, African Americans delivered the Democratic Party, delivered the presidency to the Democratic Party. And if that's the case, I would have to ask, what did we get for? And if we got nothing, should we continue to still operate that way? Others, when they go to political figures, they go and they make the political stump and ask them for their vote and their support. They hand them an agenda that they would like them to support. We have to begin to do that. And it's not a question of should we. We must. We must begin to do that as a people. So tonight I want to explore, has education been the great equalizer for us as Black folks? If so, how? If not, why not? And I think the why will get us to where we need to go. So we're not talking about individualism now, because all of us have gone to college and gotten degrees. However, have we united as a community so that we can parlay our knowledge because when you look at Africa, you look at our condition, it is said that this generation, the 50s, so-called baby boomers, this is the first generation, African-American generation in America, that will not pass on a better condition, will not hand the next generation a better condition than what they found, what their fathers, what our fathers gave us. That's a problem. For the first time in our history, it is said, that we will not pass on the legacy of wealth and of hard work and all of these things that we were given growing up. We will not pass these jewels to our children. Not one or two people, as a people, by and large. So that our children now are guided by the music and doing all the things, guided by advertisements on television. And when I was growing up, I said, I want to get my mom a house. We talked like that. All the things that I wanted to do and have done wanted to accomplish in life to make mama proud and daddy proud. I wanted to stand on their shoulders and go beyond them. And why hasn't that happened? Even with your degrees bestowed upon you by people who are quite different from you. This is something to think about. Integration. The social integration. Do they have a hidden agenda or did it work? What has been the effect of integrating with other communities? Something we want to talk about today. Have we unified because of that, them installing or concocting, some will say, this integration policy, this U.S. integration policy, integrating us into their system, where they poured all of their information, their ideology, their religious system, their way of education, their all of these systems and isms poured into us from another people. How are we faring in America in 2021? Last week we said, you know, if the dominant race, and I don't know if I should call it that, they say in 21 years, they'll be the minority in the U.S., which is why they're rushing to really set systems in place that ensure that they don't lose what they felt or feel is their country. Not getting into politics, but those who supported Donald Trump, that mindset, that Donald Trump mindset, he truly believes that he's fighting for the soul of a nation that his fathers built. Despite the fact that our fathers built this place. And we ask for nothing in return. Just glad to be here. Our brothers and sisters from the continent in Africa, despite the oldest universities on the planet, Al-Azhar, some of the great universities, they want to come to America, the land of the free, the home of the rich, the land of the free, whatever that term is. You all know what I'm saying. So these are things, some things we need to just think about as a people. Individualism is killing us. We have to get back to the community where we control everything in the community. Our school systems. We dictate the curriculum. It won't be any less. Well, why would you do that? You know, you guys are like, we can't govern our own affairs. I think it was the president of Gambia. I think it's Gambia said recently that, we're not going to take the virus, the vaccine. We're not taking it until our scientists and medical folks tell us that the vaccine is good to go. It's clear. It's okay. What do they know that we don't know? A lot of, and the more we ask questions, the more we get some answers, and the more we give answers, the more questions we have. Because the reality is we don't control any of it. We don't control the narrative that they give us. We don't control the educational system, the history, what's on top. We control nothing. All of our black communities are gone, Black Wall Street, Durham, Green, throughout the South and all over America. We have black communities where we own everything in that community. The businesses, the schools. The churches were supported and they supported us. We supported each other. Have we gone too far now? Can we ever get back to that? If we don't, we're in trouble. Listen to Dr. Claude Anderson. He said, in fact, we are in trouble. If things don't turn around right away, if we don't shed these old habits as a people of disunity, failing to buy black. I know there's some buy black movement, but the masses of us are not doing that. It's awakening. We've dropped off, hopefully, and I see it because we have more online stores. And how many? And that begs another question. How many online stores do we own? How many businesses in your community do you support that are black? Intentionally support? We have to ask these questions. So tonight, I'd like to start off with a very basic question. And it sounds like it may be easy, have an easy answer, but I don't think so. Which is why I'd like to pose it. That question is, has education been the great racial equalizer of our people? Has education, equalized us across the board? Are we equal now? Not just educationally. And I went and got a bachelor's degree. I got a master's degree. I got, you know, this and that. But now that you have that education, what is the condition of your people? And then what are you doing to, what are we doing to further the cause of our unity, to change the narrative of that which says that we are lazy and broke, and so on and so forth. It's our responsibility to change that. So I'm asking a question now, and I want to open up the floor. This is the People's Station, and I want to ask you, and I'd like to get some input. Has education been the great racial equalizer for us in America? And there's no wrong answer or right answer. I would suggest to you that there's a great, you know, the Muslims call it an Islamic jihad, one's internal struggle with oneself over the impediment that you may have. So if you're on drugs or you're alcoholic, no greater war than to try to get off that drug or that alcohol internally, your mind. That's the internal struggle. And there appears to be a struggle, even though we have the education and so-called degrees, there's a struggle to get back to black, to synthesize your needs, our needs, our community's needs, to take that knowledge, so-called education, and build for self. So I'd like to get some input. Has education been the great equalizer? Education as we currently know it, currently receive it, or is there more that's needed? Should there be some Afrocentric education? Is it a must, or is this just what they call an elective? It's like you get Martin Luther King every February. And if not, what are we going to do to change it? Very important. And we have to answer it, because if we don't, we pass this legacy on to our children. And I think it starts there. We have to change it. We have to begin to change the narrative and teach our children a different way. So they come up thinking, those of us who are older are kind of stuck. But we have to still share with them. This is my personal opinion. You all, it's a people's radio station, so a people's podcast, so you can chime in anytime. But I honestly feel as though we have a great duty and responsibility to teach our children a different way and some additional information. Must. It's not a choice at this point. It's how do we change this narrative? And won't we do that it lasts and withstand the test of time? How do we change it now? It'll be through our children, by feeding them the information needed that gives them the pride, the respect, the love for each other, as one black people. Any thoughts at all? Anyone at all? Got a lot of people on here. So, and if you're shy, don't be. And there's no wrong or right answer. The reality is that many of us have degrees, masters and doctorates. And before I go to our next questions, I just want to, you know, get a little feedback on whether or not we're good, or do we need some additional information, education, a different mindset that would cause us to unify and buy black and think black and shed our, rid ourselves of all of this European stuff that we've learned over the years. I say, you know, one of the things I often say is, well, let's take what is good from what we've learned, our sojourn in America, and the rest throw it away. There's those who tell me, and my associates, well, all of it should be thrown away. Well, if we want to throw away how to make a car, we can make it better. You know, take that blueprint. My point is, we don't want to throw it all away, in my opinion. That which is not positive and developmental for us, throw it in the trash can of history. The rest we need to go to work on. And I see my, welcome, my co-host is on, Sister Bonisa. You there?
Greetings, can you hear me?
I can.
Greetings, Brother Lane.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm doing well, how about yourself?
I'm all right.
Listen. Good.
Yes. Just listening to you.
So I've already asked a question. Thank you for coming on. I know you're very busy. But we got just a few questions for us to do some self-reflecting on where we are in 2021. The fact that Caucasians will be the minority in 21 years. At least that is what the demographers tell us. That we as a people are not passing on, for the first time, are not passing to the next generation the wealth, the mental, spiritual, financial wealth that this generation now is poorer than the last generation. And COVID is not helping. So that's where we are. Has education been the great racial equalizer for?
Well, I was listening to you. Yeah, I've been listening. And you put a lot out there. Before I respond, I would like to suggest, if you're able to do this, to call out some of the, I think it's the last four digits of the numbers that you might see on the board.
Yes.
Some people, when you're ready for feedback, because some people, especially those that are new calling in, they may not know. You know, when you ask them to just come on in, they still may not know what that looks like. So if you would pull out the four numbers, that might, last four numbers, that might help. That might be very helpful.
Thank you. We'll certainly do that.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I was just thinking of our historians, and I always say this, you know, between Dr. Rogers and Professor Small, you know, and other historians, Dr. Bruce Bridges, I have learned so much that I can now speak somewhat intelligently about our condition, whereas prior to understanding our history, I really was just your average reactionary, you know? We got to do this, we got to do that, and you hear that over and over again, well, we got to do this and we got to do that, and it starts in the family, and we got to educate our own. You know, yet we're still in the same situation, under the same control of the same devil. So I say that to say that what I learned from our historians is extremely critical, and that is that we get a proper education. When you're asking about, you know, the education, has it been sufficient, you know, whatever words you were using, we have not been properly educated. We've been educated by the enemy, miseducated, actually, like Carter G. Woodson wrote the book, you know, Miseducation of the Negro. We have been miseducated, and that has to be undone. You know, all the BS that we learned has to be undone. Before we can move forward, before we can even think about moving forward, you know, the first thing that I'm very, very passionate about is that everything that you're asking, and I say this all the time, I will continue to say it, we've already done. Not just in ancient Kemet and Songhai and Mali, but we've done it here in the United Snakes of America. Not states, but snakes. We've done it here. We've built towns, business districts, schools, hospitals. We invented almost everything that we use today. The stove, your refrigerator, you know, just everything.
So, yes.
Even the mop and the broom, the stoplight, we invented everything. So we have the genius, we have the experience, but what we've lost is not, in terms of education, we stopped being educated by our own people. When we were educated by our own people, even those that just got a sixth grade education or a third grade education, not only were they taught math, you know, and literacy, but they were taught self-esteem, and they were taught pride, and they were nurtured. And I listen to the elders when they talk about, you know, they would come home after doing something wrong, and their teacher would be at their house telling the parents, so-and-so didn't show up for school, or they messed up on this, you know, they failed this test. And there was that relationship, you know, that belonging to each other, where we took care of each other. And so our children, our people were properly educated. There were so many doctors and lawyers in the early 1900s, I had no idea.
Yes.
I think I've said this before. There was, I don't remember what city this was in, but in a, you know, one of the successful, self-sustaining black towns, there were 10 doctors on one street, 10 medical doctors. And my understanding is that they weren't fighting, you know, for who's going to get the most clients, anything like that. They were there to serve. And some wouldn't even charge, like, a lot of money because they knew our people were struggling in the poor areas. So they would take, like, a chicken, you know, or something. So in other words, we were working together as a community and being taught by our own with love, discipline, and concern. After integration,
just
very quickly, after integration, that began to fall apart.
So let me ask: there are those who will say, "Wait a minute! Don't make mockery of my education. I have a doctorate. I have a master's degree that I earned. It's valuable to me. I earned it, and I'm not going to let anyone make a mockery of it." But what do you say to that person?
Well, I don't know.
Who thinks their education is, who says their education is, you know, is what is expected of them. They did it. They went to the universities, and they toughed it out, and now they have knowledge.
Well, that's good. You know, I ain't mad at that. My question is, how are you using it to benefit our people, to grow our people? And that's number one. And number two, those towns that were built in the late 1800s and early 1900s, I don't know that those people that built the towns, those our ancestors, I don't know how many people had doctorates and, you know, PhDs. But I do know they had the will and the determination to be self-sufficient. So if you have a doctorate and all of that, cool. But if you're not using it for our benefit, then it doesn't matter to me what you have.
So the challenge that I'm hearing is that they get what the educational system gives them. If the educational system does not include that which would affect or benefit African Americans, then they have to go somewhere else and get that component, that type of education. So which creates the lifelong struggle of one getting back to getting back to know themselves, or actually many of us don't know. That's why we get the degrees and we go off to other towns, we separate ourselves from our communities. And yet there's an inside desire, a yearning to be among our people. Because just like any other race, they're more comfortable with their own. Although we try to you know, fit into the dominant culture, I get it. You got a degree now, you're making a little money, and you move out of the neighborhood where you grew up because success says that you go to another neighborhood. And in doing so, you find another set of friends and another set of problems. Those folks don't want you in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
You integrate. And so there's a struggle there mentally. There's a struggle educationally. Because you're getting education. You're getting educated, but you're not getting liberated. Is that fair to say?
When that's the case, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I said, you're really no good to us. I don't know if I said it that way, but you are no good to black people if you have, you know, whatever level of education you reach. You're no good to us if you're not using that to help to rebuild our communities. As a matter of fact, I heard Dr. Naeem Akbar, who I have great respect for, you know, excellent black psychologist. And he tells it like it is. He doesn't, you know, try to be nice about it. You know, he'll say, black people, y'all crazy, and mean it, with no harm, just telling the truth. But he said, and I've heard others, other degreed, you know, black folks say, yes, I have a PhD and a master's and this and that, but when I got conscious, I had to go back and relearn. I had to relearn and unlearn the crap that I was taught by European, Caucasian educational system. I have heard that. And there needs to be more conversation. I would love to hear more conversations about that, those who have said that and experienced it.
Yes, and I'm inviting the lines are open. If any comment or any input shed some light on this, we're just exploring. There's no right or wrong answer. But we're having this discussion because, we the survival of a people is at stake. We asked last week, are you ready to run a nation? If for 21 years, Caucasians will be the minority, and they're working hard to change that through this virus and other things, in my opinion. But what are we going to do? Because the onus is on us. It's on us about what we do, how do we prepare from this day, from 2021 forward. And we can't just be individual anymore. We have to operate as a community. Anyone else? I see a couple of people here. Text me. You can come right on in. And so let's unpack this just a minute, because, and then we'll move on to the next subject. Someone says, I mean, education has not been an equalizer. Okay, good. Well, we pretty much said that while it allows people personal gain, financial gain, positions and corporations, the masses are not benefiting from the education that person received because they're not working in that vein. They're not contributing their knowledge because we're not a group. We're not working as a community. And we have to get back to that. How do we do that? Now that we've carried the analysis, how do we get back to being a community? How's that done? That it must be done. That is that, you know, you're concerned about me because I'm concerned about you, and we're all in the same community. Not undifferent from the Jews or the Latinos or the Italians. They live in communities where they control things. You know, they decide what goes on there. There's been a Flatbush in New York City, a little Jewish town over there, Flatbush Avenue, in those areas. They control it all. When something happens in that community, they come out in the numbers. I mean, hundreds in the street. If an officer does something to one of theirs, then they ain't rioting, but somebody's going to get fired and there's going to be a new chief there. See, that's power. The power is not going into the street and tearing up everything in your own community. But if we're not functioning as a community, then we do whatever we think, and then they're able to infiltrate us. It is said that it was the Proud Boys, one of these racist groups, that walked with Black Lives Matter and began to tear things up and throw bricks and that kind of thing. And then we joined them. I have video that one day I'd like to show on another show. Show the video about how they bring bricks. Now this, so you get a permit. I'm going to just share this. But you get a permit to hold an assembly get this place on 4th Avenue, downtown, whatever city it is. And now you got all these people coming in because you want to make a point. Well, all of a sudden, one day the video will show you that they bought bricks. There's no construction going on nowhere, anywhere in the area. But they bought bricks and sent the bricks out right in the path of where the permit is given. And then it is a Caucasian who first throw the brick. And this has happened around the country. So I'm saying that's the importance of a community working together. Because when someone does that that's out of character, we can say, hey, wait a minute. You know? So like if we go to a Jewish movement in one of the Jewish towns, we can stick out like a sore thumb. You know, so education is key. And I'd like to sum it up if I can. Education is key, but the question becomes what kind of education? Anyone agree? I see a couple of yeses in the text. All right, so Let's move on then. How if we need to function as communities, how do we set up communities versus neighborhoods? Right now we have neighborhoods. We really don't know each other. And if I'm wrong, just please chime in. So we had to get back to, we had to fix this. And my prayer is that we get some answers that allows us to rethink the way we're currently operating. Like any business, if things need changing, things are not working out the way you want it to, you make changes. But can we make changes? Can we build communities? Or are we so far apart and distant from each other that that's impossible now? Because if it is, we're in real trouble. Real trouble. How do we build communities? Anyway. You can come on live, brother. Your mic's unmuted. Okay. Yes, it's true. There's no Martin Luther King. Well, in this day and hour, we're all Martin Luther Kings. All of us have a measure, in my opinion, all of us have a measure of responsibility. There's an old saying, each one teach one. Our brother, Master, what is his name? Master Jay, who got arrested for setting up the militia. I know you all saw that. That's not just some crazy thing. That's not something that just happened in the vacuum. He's not a crazy man. He's all wrong. And his spirit told him to take an action to build a military, a force that would be able to answer those who would address us. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but clearly the God, the ancestors, chose him. He accepted that mission. Any thoughts? Was he wrong for doing what he did? He wanted to take care of the community. We're talking about communities. So they staffed up and got the uniforms and got organized, and they walked the community like the Black Panthers did. Is there anyone here disagree with what the Black Panthers did? It's okay to say so. It's okay to dissent. It's okay. And share this and have people call in. We want more callers. I need to hear the full range of ideas. And there's no wrong answers. If you don't know about Jam Master Jay, Master Jay, who led that militant group, walked communities after our brother was shot down in Texas and different places, they responded and was respected. And I think that's what men should do today. What good is it for us to be around brothers and then they're killing our women and children right in our midst? What good are we to our families, to the sisters, man? I mean, we just have to talk to each other and talk to ourselves. Yes, sir, I agree too. And I want you to come live. I need to hear your voice. You all who are texting. And feel free to please share this discussion. We want as many people as we can. We see we got Atlanta in the house. Thank you for being there. Greensboro, Orange, New Jersey, Newark. Thank you for being with us tonight. As this platform grows, we want to really knock it out of the box. We want to have meaningful discussion that will help us to change the narrative, rewrite the narrative that we're currently living under, that we've created over the years. Our loyalty to the Democratic Party, getting nothing for it. Our women and children being killed, and women being taken off the streets into slave, I forget what the term they use, but they're taking our women off the street, literally, brothers. So that's why I want to have some of these discussions leading up to other discussions. The more we answer questions, the more we have more answers. More answers we get. And then more answers we get, more questions we have. And so we have to have this type of dialogue. It's not just killing some time. We want you to think about where you are, where we are today as a people. Very, very important that we have these discussions. And so, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm getting your text. But you guys, just chime in, please. You don't have to text. Type it. Just chime in. The line's open for everyone. And please share this information. Invite everyone to come on the air right now. We're live. We're going to take a station break in a couple of moments, but please invite your friends, family. Let's have this discussion. This is a community discussion. It's about us. We have to talk about other people. We need to talk about where we are and where we need to go. 2021 and beyond. Educationally. I think it starts with education. We've asked the question about communities. How do we reestablish the community? How's that done? How do we do that now in 2021 and beyond? How do we establish Black communities? That is where we own and control everything in our community. something happens in the community, go down to the police department, you tell the chief, and hell, he's black, the schools have a black curriculum. How can we do that? Is that something that you want to do? Or do you want to just keep going to the so-called mainstream universities and getting their doctorates and their, and no knowledge about your own history and yourself? Can we turn this around without knowledge of self? I think just my co-host said that can't be possible. It's going to be much of the same. Am I correct? $16.69, is that correct?
Brother Lance, you talking to me?
Yeah, is that correct? You were saying earlier that it's impossible to turn this around without knowledge of self, our own history. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. We have to, not only knowledge of our own history, we have to have knowledge of our culture. You talked about individualism. Our culture, African culture, African people are the total opposite of claiming ourselves as, or identifying ourselves as individuals. We're communal people. We have a deep understanding that we belong to each other. And I'll say that again, we have a deep understanding that we belong to each other. Integration destroyed much of who we are because we worked so hard to assimilate into a savage, unnatural civilization. And the only way for us to become self-determined, you know, and all the other things we need to do to build our, you know, to build back our communities is to separate from this insane society. There's no way that we're going to be able to do what we did, even in the 60s with the Black Panthers and whatnot. We're not going to be able to do that here.
Let's unpack that, because is there a natural, innate, a human desire, for example, that when one is oppressed, he or she tries to be like the oppressor to escape the oppression? That is, that they want to talk like them, they want to dress like them, want to be accepted by them, want to learn their culture, and so that I can be treated differently from my Black counterpart. Is that a natural thing? What is that? What is that in us? I think it's a survival tool. Go ahead.
Right. I'm in agreement. It's a survival tool, and it's also a reaction to trauma, because the fact is, you know, if we really want to break this thing down, when I talk about the towns that we built and the business districts and all the great things that we've done, everything that we've done has been destroyed by the dominant savages that run this country and the world. So you can have, you know, five powerful Black leaders pop up tomorrow, and they will be either taken out or locked up or forced to assimilate and not do anything for Black people. That's the society that we're in. And you know, we're blind. We're not accepting that. You know, we're having a real hard time accepting that reality, but that is the reality. Just like you talked about Grandmaster Jay, he stood up and organized, you know, the Black militia, and that was all beautiful and, you know, whatnot. And you turn around and he's, you know, in an argument with another Black person, and other people are turning against him, and we're fragmented. You know, we're fragmented. We're fighting each other, you know, with all of our consciousness and our knowledge. You know, we're fighting each other because we've been pitted against each other. So there's a whole lot of healing and correction that has to be done before we can move forward. That's the bottom line. And it can't be here. You can't be in a lion's den, you know, where they're circling around you, ready to eat you, trying to build something.
Yes, yes. So this is Melanin Live. We're going to come back from a short break, and pick up this discussion, but the question is, how do we get back to ourselves? How do we get back and build a community? What is the methodology? And we have some great scholars on the line. How do we, certainly it's education, but how now in 2021 do we begin to rewrite the narrative? And how do we help to change our minds? We'll be right back in a moment.
With so much on your mind right now, the safety of your family and business should not be one of them. Safe and Secure Worldwide Protection Group's goal is to keep you and the things you love safe. From patrolling your small business and neighborhood to guarding large construction sites and shopping centers, we are here to protect you. That's why we were selected as security for the last three presidential elections. Safe and Secure Worldwide Protection Group. We worry about your security, so you don't have to.
When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds.
Here's your time for an awakening media lineup. Monday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives, with host Brother Oshi, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Same time, same place. Continued Monday lineup, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, with host Brother Jihad Ahmed, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central, host Dr. Mawia Kambon and Sister Nataki Kambon, 9 p.m. till 10 p.m., Conversation Reparations, first and third Monday. On Tuesday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Black Reality Thinking with host Dr. William Rogers. On Thursday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., Melanin Live with host Lance Jones, co-host Boniswa Ayan. Fridays, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Time for an Awakening, with creator of Time for an Awakening and host, Brother Elliot, co-hosted by Brother Richard. Saturday, 4 p.m. till 6 p.m., Black Sister Talk, with host Wanda Chambers. 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., The Elders of Sankofa. And Sunday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Time for an Awakening, host Brother Elliot and co-host Brother Richard. Check us out, get informed, and get involved.
You are listening to Melanin Live with host Chief Lance Jones. Melanin Live radio broadcast with affiliate Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com video platform. Reach out to them at melaninlive@yahoo.com. All of our programs are archived. Just go to www.timeforawakening.com. Access the search portal. Type in the name of the program you desire to review.
And we're back. Melanin Live, Nash Jones, thank you for being with us. And my co-host, Miss Ayan, Boniswa Ayan. And we're going to finish up this last hour with these two questions that we were dealing with before our break. I really want to unpack this. Mute your phone, mute your speaker there. So I want to unpack this thing. How do we get back? How do we stand on the shoulders of the ancestors and go forward from 2021 and beyond and rewrite the narrative? How do we create communities again where we shared and where we owned the community, where we had our housing, our school, we controlled the school, we had all the businesses? How do we get, can we get back there? How do we do that? How do we change our minds about each other, particularly after having matriculated in the institutions of higher learning and all of our BAs and bachelor's degrees and doctorates and all of these degrees that we have, yet we're more divided now than ever with knowledge. How do we build a community again? How do we rewrite that narrative? And I'd like to hear from some of you now about your ideas about how do we rewrite the narrative and so that we begin to practice socioeconomics. It is said that if our people began to spend with each other, we'll create over one million millionaires in 1 year. Think about that. They say we spend $1.4 trillion a year is our spending habits. Think about it. And the dollar stays less than 24 hours in our community. This is a problem. The dollar in other communities, it is said, stays 7 days, 14 days. In the Chinese community, they go to their stores. The Jewish community, they go to their stores. They're co-religionists and they're kin folks and those who are from their land, whether it be China or Korea, wherever it is. What is our problem? After knowledge. How do we get back, brothers and sisters? How do we build this family structure, this community again? And I want us to think critically about this. Why? Because in 21 years, they say, whites will be the minority in America. Are you ready for leadership? National leadership. Make world decisions, even though they see you as less, you know, than themselves. I'd like to hear your thoughts. And the lines are open now for anyone. Anyone who'd like to chime in, all the lines are open. This is something that we must talk about. Some critical thinking. We all have businesses, and so we have to learn to support each other's business. Our children must begin to go to our schools that we say what the curriculum is. I'd like to hear from some of you. We want to compile these ideas as we talk about and prepare for a real discussion on a broader level. So there is no silly idea. There is no comment that is less important than the other. We want to hear from you. What do you think we should do? How do we do it? It's good to carry the analysis to talk about it. How do we... the practical applications, how do we make it happen?
Excuse me, Mr. Jones?
Yes?
Hi, my name is Beverly, and I'm calling from East Orange, New Jersey. I know here we are working to pass a law, which is called the Amistad Law, and what that will do is it will enable us to start at the pre-K level to at least start to teach our history, so that the kids will grow up knowing who they are, and that will allow them to feel more empowered and then work toward building a community. So that's kind of where we're starting to try to get back some of what we have lost and try to recondition the thinking of our people. And we're starting at that level. Thank you.
Powerful. And that's out of Orange, New Jersey, East Orange, New Jersey. That's wonderful. And that's that model. We need to take a look at that. Does it need to be replicated all over the country, wherever we are found? Well, it can be. We can add to it, take away from it, whatever it is, because this is apparently a first for that city, for that town?
Yes, we were actually working on it since 2010. It was actually tabled and passed, but never really moved. So we're working to try to get it implemented this year. So thank you for providing a platform for us to at least express what we're doing here, and hopefully it can be a model for future cities to participate or to mimic.
Absolutely. And if we can help get that word out, we will. And we were talking about that earlier, how important it is to begin to teach our children, not just STEM, science, technology, so on and so forth, not just mathematics, not just, you know, some of the things, but we really got to teach them knowledge of self, love of self, respect of self, and their history. And I think all those things can be done. The question is, so we've answered the question about how to get it to the children. You said it started in 2010, and just now this is 2020, 2021. And so apparently there was some pushback in the system, because you're talking about changing now the minds and attitudes of Black children toward each other. So the reality of them in that community that attend that coursework and those classes, the reality of them creating unity among themselves and then pushing that narrative out over the next generation is a reality. And two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. If one is going to be up, the other one's got to be a servant. I get it. And so do they. So I thank you all in New Jersey for doing what you're doing. And Sister Monisa, your thoughts on it? I'm going to leave you out.
Would you repeat what you're asking my thoughts on, please?
Yeah, the program that they started in New Jersey, that is a curriculum of inclusion. Actually, more than inclusion. It actually is a curriculum that is educating African-American children about themselves in a literal sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, we need that. We need it all. I actually am a product. I'm a product of an African-centered school. So, yeah, those are very, very critical.
And 2661, did I explain that adequately? Feel free to jump in. I don't want
to. Yes, you did. What we're doing is we are teaching starting at the pre-K level of teaching the children who they are, because what I'm finding is that it's difficult for us to move to the future if you don't know where you have been. And our children really have not been taught the correct or proper history as to where we've been, and that's why we can't move forward. So the Amistad Law is being implemented to teach these children so that they can get what they need to fully compete with the other races, you know, on academic levels, on all of the levels, because we've been left behind.
I have a question for you, sister, and thank you for what you're doing. Are you teaching an African-centered education, or is it more academic? Can you talk a little bit more about what you're doing?
Sure, absolutely. It is Afrocentric. Again, it's the pieces that are left out of our history that our children don't get and that they need, not just, you know, that David Banner discovered the peanut or whatever that is, or, you know, the certain select verses from Martin Luther King's speeches, not just that stuff, but just history from Africa telling you who you are, where your roots are. And with that, the hope is for you to be able to gain a lot of knowledge to move forward because you know who you are. Most of us, we argue with each other, we fight with each other because we don't have respect for ourselves. So hopefully this program will allow these children to get what they need to respect themselves and then therefore be able to respect others to build a community as others do.
Ashe.
But I can certainly get some information over to our host and he can get it out to everyone else. So, I mean, that would be helpful if you have the literature in hand.
Great, absolutely. And we'll get you our It's melaninlive@yahoo.com. When you want to leave that, melaninlive@yahoo.com. Just email that to us and we'll both get it. Thank you very much for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Sister Bonesa, your thoughts?
That's excellent. You know, we have to educate our children properly. I will say also, we do a lot of focus on educating our children, and that's critical. I mean, that's our job. That's our job. But we also have to educate, and we also have to educate the adults. A lot of folks say that, you know, we have to forget about the adults because they're stuck in their ways or whatever. But adults can be educated. They are being educated, and a lot of people are getting woke, as they say. And because here's the piece, we can educate our children properly, as Dr. Clark said and as his sister's talking about. But if they go back to a home where parents are brainwashed, they believe in assimilation, you know, into this this very sick culture. They see success only as how much money you make and not, you know, what kind of character you have and, you know, some of the other African principles. If they go back into a home where the standards of beauty, you know, are straightened hair and lighter skin, then, you know, eventually they kind of, you know, they run the risk of losing what they learn once they leave. So we all, adults and children, have to be educated, from my perspective, with an African-centered education. Yeah. So let's not forget the adults. Let's not kick them aside. And I'm not saying that to the sister. I'm just saying in general.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Much a different discussion for the adults, and a different methodology in terms of reaching us.
Well, let me interject this, because Dr. Greg Carr from Howard University, very, very popular historian. Actually, I don't know if he's just an historian, because I know he's also a... Well, anyway, Dr. Greg Carr...
Wonderful brother.
Yes. He does a show with Karen Hunter every Saturday. And it's about a two-hour show, and the brother educates all of our people. And I have just been beautifully amazed by how many adults are supporting the show, how just the thousands of adults that are tuning in early in the morning to get that black, that African-centered education. And, you know, so that just flies in the face of when people say, oh, forget about the older people, they're stuck. No, our adults want to learn, too. And so that's one example of a person who's teaching adults and, you know, youth, whomever. And the numbers, the money that's coming, that's being donated is fantastic. And one more thing about the money that's being donated, Karen Hunter said something that was very, very powerful. She said, don't donate any money more. Because I've never seen... she's on YouTube. I've never seen the amounts that are being donated, $100, $50, $25. Usually you'll see $2, $5, $10, but they're large.
If you don't mind, let me interject, if you don't mind. Repeat that, because your connection broke up, if you would, please.
Okay. Can you hear me better?
We can.
Okay. I was saying that so the adults are so thrilled to be learning and getting an African-centered education every Saturday morning, early in the morning, that thousands of adults are going onto YouTube to get this education from Dr. Carr and Professor Karen Hunter. And, you know, their books are being recommended, and, I mean, it's just an amazing thing to see. So because our adults are getting an education via that platform, they were donating large amounts of money, you know, in terms of like your average YouTube, you know, channel that's doing whatever.
Yeah.
They ask for the donations. they'll get $5 donations, $2, $10. You know, these adults are donating to Dr. Carr and Karen Hunter $100, $50, $25, and more. I've seen higher numbers. Now, what Karen Hunter did very recently, she said, you guys are donating a lot of money here, and it's beautiful, but you do not have to pay for your education here. This is for free because we need this. And she said, take your money and put it into a project. And I can't say verbatim what she was saying, but she said, we got this covered because this is my station. She said, this is my station, so I can call the shots here. She said, keep your money and put it into projects where you can actually build something in your community. This education is free. And that was just the most amazing thing, one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen.
Yeah, that speaks to the socioeconomic piece we were talking about earlier.
So in other words, you know, put your money to exactly where we can, something that you can build, not to learn. Learning, there shouldn't be a cost to learn. No one should be charged to learn.
It's a God-given right, huh?
Right, exactly.
Wow. Yes, indeed. So, but it speaks volumes. And it answers, that's one answer to the question that we had. How do we get back to community? They're doing that. It is through education, but what type of education? African-centered education.
Right.
It's the only component missing to your master's degree and your, that if you're African-American or African, knowledge of self is the only component missing that would have us to parlay, to unify and parlay our riches with each other through social knowledge, have us to build our communities again, where we live among each other, take care of our neighborhoods and each other, and own the systems and businesses in that community. If we don't do it, what's the alternative? Just forecast for a moment. Engage me for just a minute. Is this forecast down the wheel of time in 2025, 2030, 2050? Some of us will be gone. What legacy will we leave for our children and grandchildren? To have them to struggle in the way we did it just seems so elementary that we have the ability to turn this thing around almost overnight through our unity. Through our spending together, through our creating new communities. But yet, there's something in us, what we've learned, what has been poured in us, keeps us away from each other. And I guess both those ways, certainly through the school system and the children starting there, is crucial. And as Sister said, with the adults. And we may have to have them on to share with us that methodology and what they're teaching that is so appealing. And then are we measuring that to see what's coming out of it? Are we still individualistic? Or are they creating businesses together? Are they, you know, schools being built like Brother Omar Johnson and his idea? You know what I mean? So, again, the more we ask questions, the more we answer questions. The more we answer questions, the more questions we have.
Well, Brother, can I say this? Because
yes.
I've heard you say that several times, and, you know, it just really got me thinking. You know, the more questions we, you know, ask, the more there are more to be, you know, what you just said. And what that says to me is that we're not hearing. We're not hearing that everything that we're talking about has been done, and that the reason that we're not doing it now is because everything that we have been done has been torn down, has been destroyed. Every leader, I think you had talked about leadership,
yes,
or maybe it was advertised, every leader that we've had has been murdered, locked up. And what happens, Brother Lance, is that when everything that you build and all your leaders that are leading you in, you know, towards self-determination and self-sufficiency, sovereignty, et cetera, when they are destroyed, then the masses develop a learned powerlessness. In other words, whatever we do, it's not going to matter because the savages are going to destroy it. So that issue has to be addressed, the issue of learned powerlessness. How does that get addressed? It gets through our African-centered psychologists. They can help us to understand those dynamics. You know, now this has been a process of 300 years. Of bills getting torn down. So there's no way that this can really be done overnight because we've been disempowered, really. We're not a disempowered people, but we have been disempowered. If that's all you see, the Black Panthers were they were dynamic. Look at how they were infiltrated and just totally, they would turn against each other, destroyed, murdered. Mm-hmm. And so people eventually say, well, you know, what's the point? Even like the sister that came on and talked about the school, I never want to discourage anyone from doing anything. We must continue to build. I want to be very clear. We must continue to build in spite of. However, Brother Lance, and you notice, there was one school here in Greensboro that was one of the best schools for Black children, from my understanding, in the country, right in Greensboro.
Yes.
And we let that school fall. We let that school fall. And that school also had to stay under the radar because if the enemies of our people knew how great that school was doing, they would have destroyed it. That's what they do. So this is the issue that where we really need our Black psychologists and our, as Dr. Rogers reminded me of the term psychohistory, that has to be addressed. And that's a whole nother topic. That's a whole nother show. But I needed to say that because it's a reality that we're dealing with.
Yeah, the Nation of Islam is still here. And I think when you spoke of the Black Panthers, and you're right, we talked about Jam Master Jay and what he did with the militia that he put together. But the Nation of Islam is still here. It mm-hmm. was not infiltrated.
But let me ask you, where the stake intakes? Where are the all the things
right.
that the Nation of Islam did? What happened
right.
to them? What happened? I'd like to hear that. What happened to them?
We have Brother 6683. Any comments? One of my brothers, I believe that's him. The stake and takes and the do for self and all of the black businesses that Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan and Malcolm X and so many others, James Baz and so many others, under the leadership of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, built a nation within a nation. They had ships with doing international trade and commerce, their own schools, your food markets, I think it was called.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I get it. I get it. What happened? The infiltration, maybe? I'm not sure. It's worth studying. I mean, we know parenthetically something went on, but the specifics of which I can't elaborate on, but you're right. But all of this is a very healthy discussion simply because it helps us to look in the mirror at ourselves and our condition and do a self-analysis of where we are is critical. But go ahead, I'm going to interrupt.
But I ask that, see, these are the serious questions and the serious dialogue that I know, I'll say I firmly believe and know, that we have to have. Because, again, if our people are feeling powerless, right? We've learned powerlessness. One of the solutions to addressing learned powerlessness and getting rid of that mentality is understanding why everything we built and how it was destroyed. Because, you know, I felt a little silly when I said steak and takes, but that's just the first thing that came to my mind, you know, because I wasn't impatient. But I do remember, you know, so many things in Brooklyn. Everything was, you know, Nation of Islam was just a powerful presence. Well, like you said, all the businesses, et cetera. Later on, I learned about Muhammad's Farms and, you know, and we need to know what happened. So that when we start to rebuild, if we try to rebuild here, we'll know what to look out for. Mm. We'll know not to make the same mistakes if we made some mistakes. You see what I'm saying? We'll know what to look for when it comes to infiltration or whatever destroyed that. Because, yes, NOI did amazing things. What happened?
What happened, yes. Good question. May take a moment and ask us if we will. Just got a call. As you know, my dear sister, Cicely Tyson is one of my clients. I've done her bodyguard work. She has transitioned, tonight at 96 years old. I'm getting a text here. So let's give a moment of silence for not only my mother who transitioned, but Sister Cicely Tyson at 96 years old is now transitioned. So, and this COVID thing is taking us out. Well, let's get just a moment of silence for you. And may God be pleased with our sister. Still look young, though. You know, 96 years old. She was still getting out of her and our beloved sister, Dr. Maya Angelou, was very, very good friends. Very good friends. They would often go to her house. She would come here to Maya Angelou's house and be surely missed. Surely missed. So that should be hitting the TV at some point soon. But having said that, we get to stand on her shoulders now. She did a great work. Just to digress for a moment. And working with her and for her, you know, when I arrived at the airport to pick her up one day, I think it was in Atlanta or North Carolina, one of them. Anyway, she gets off the, I'm sitting there in the tarmac with the limo and, you know, all this. Mm-hmm. And so we're sitting there waiting for the plane to let her off. And as the plane door opened up, there's a sister standing there. She's got this big brim on. I still have the photo. Big brim on. Big hat. And this fur, it was chilly. Fur coat. And she had a cane. And she was just walking like an older person, one who was frail. And I was like, wow, she has really eat. So we got her in the car, sitting in the limo, myself and my partner. And as she sits down, she takes this hat off. And this coat and said, my God, it was all an act. Because she didn't want people all over her, you know, trying to get autographs. She just wanted to take a flight. And so she played that role. I still have the photos. That's just one of my memories of her. And she's so full of history. She talked from the moment she got into the car about our trials as a people. And her trials in Hollywood and throughout the world, she was full, man, full of information and full and just sharing all of it. And she kind of helped me get on my path because she was full of history. It's all she ever talked about. Her and mine would talk about the days gone by and doing what we're doing now, talking about where we must go from where we are. And so she'll be surely missed. But back to what we were talking about. And you guys, you all be able to tune in and I guess see the news this evening at some point. Where were we? I'm sorry, Sister Bonisa. Where were we? I didn't digress there.
No, that was very important. Hello?
We can't hear you. Someone is talking. Go ahead. I'm going to have to mute your phone. Okay.
I just wanted to say we send our love for send off to the ancestors for Cicely Tyson, and also Brother Lance for your mother. Brother Lance's mother did transition, and we want to send Brother Lance all of our love and support, even though he thinks he's too tough to need it.
Oh, no. But I appreciate it. Thank you.
We send you our love and support, and we pray your mother has a beautiful send-off to the ancestor world.
Giant, man. You know, and as I entered the U.S. Capitol doing my work, I thought about her. And said, you know, yeah. She left a day so early. She was just been so proud. You know, that type of thing makes her proud when she sees her son accomplish something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah.
But she lives. She lives in all of us whom she loved and taught. And so I'm good. And I know she can rest now. She was actually, and I'll get off of this, but she had been on dialysis about 17 years, something like that.
Wow. A long time.
50 years. Let her rest. She's done a great job. Her children are well. They're healthy. They're wealthy. Wise. And so it's time for her to take her rest. And that's what I said. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But so all of this is the reason why we have to have these discussions. Because, you know, and we have to keep these discussions going because our elders are leaving here.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't get that information out of them so that we can pass it on to the next generation, then these gems and jewels of knowledge are lost. And so is our people. We're lost right now in drugs and alcohol and gangbanging and all this stuff we never had before because we bought into this so-called dominant culture. It is fed to us on television, radio, through the music. There was a meeting in Park Avenue in New York City. And it was a meeting, you know, I've been in law enforcement for a long time. There was a meeting between the record labels and the prison system. Those who were heavily invested in the prison system. And you would say, well, what kind of meeting is that? Well, the reality was that they wanted to begin to have the music, the rap music, speak more to that gangster element. Because our children followed that. So while they're looking at the images and listening to the words, they think that's reality on television, in the movies. You know, chains around your neck and shooting guns and all this foolishness. Then our children follow that. And what happens inadvertently is it passed the prisons. So the prison industrial complex, and I know I'm getting off the subject, but it's all related. We're talking about where we must go from where we are. It's just another segment of it. There's no limit. There's no shortage of areas that we need to work on. But so the children begin to follow the images. And so you see them sagging, the parents behind, on the behind. That's something that started in prison. But they made it popular. Because a young man who wants to rap, which my son was on the line, and he's doing well. He's not one of those. The reality is the guy that wants to be famous and make music, they make him a deal that he can't refuse. You know? You make this kind of song, that kind of song, we'll go ahead and give you a $50,000 advance. And we think that's some money because we're broke. And meanwhile, they make a couple million on that song. Now they're waking up, but the masses of our children are following that. So they sit in front, particularly now during COVID, sit in front of the television all day long. being dumbed down. And so there, that's just another aspect of what's going on. And so that we have a responsibility to change. And so all this discussion tonight, the school system in New Jersey, the what was the name of that? Let me check my notes. School system in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. It's from Armistead Law.
Armistead Law. And so where they're teaching black children in the school system their history now. It's going to be very interesting to monitor, to watch. And because the systems know what happens when you give us information and knowledge. And so all of these things, brothers and sisters, business ownership, key, important, not just to blacks, but certainly our products need to be sold worldwide to all communities, just as they sell to us. But we need to, we really need to start focusing on supporting each other in a real sense. And so we're talking about communities now, changed our mind. Where do we go from here, from 2021 and beyond? We answered some of the questions with the Amistad curriculum, a program that's being implemented in New Jersey. I think that should be I pray it'd be a great model for the nation, for other communities to start implementing. Certainly our buying, as I said earlier, if it, you know, $1.4 trillion a year. If we did that, if we start spending money ourselves, we would create over millionaires in 1 year. That's what the study said. The demographer saying that Caucasians are going to be the minority in this country. Are we ready for leadership to run the nation? And will our condition change for the better as a result of one of us being running this nation? Or would it be much of the same? So in order to answer these questions, we have to begin to plan, have this discussion and plan now. So that in 2050, we begin to see the yield the fruits of this labor today. Any questions, any thoughts? No thoughts. Everybody's quiet. There's no wrong answers. So let me say that this must happen, my brothers and sisters. And to the men, it's on us now. Some brother said, well, sisters are with the exhale. Well, maybe that's so, but they're the front line today. They're outdoing us in many cases. What has happened? Have we been demasculated? Masculinized? What's going on, black man? How do we address these challenges as men? Or do we? Do we just let the sisters just take over and keep on running this thing? Do we have a measure of responsibility? Do we have more responsibility to take the charge on this than our sisters? Yes or no? As men. Mighty quiet. That's a problem. We have to do, we have to talk among ourselves about where, and look in the mirror at ourselves about where we are, what we're doing, what contribution are we making toward the furtherance of our people, our children, our families, our grandchildren. It's on us. The women will follow if we're doing the right thing. We're soldiers handling the business. We're lovers. We're friends. We're leaders. Just in our family. You don't have to go out there and be a Martin Luther King. But we have to answer these questions. Certainly not going to send the sisters out by themselves. Or will you? I would hope not. There's a great deal of work to do, and there's no one brother that can do it. We just have to have dialogue among ourselves. So, and I'd like to start here. It starts in these forums. You know? And so we have to chime in. We have to have, And the sisters will, look, they're going to chime in anyway. For some reason, we've been quiet too long. We just let people run amok through our community and do whatever the hell they want to do. And we sit there quiet, like church mice. When are we going to get up and do something? You know? I was out with Captain Dennis Muhammad. He had a program called Barbershop Talk. Talking about community. How do we get back to building communities? Well, we went in and we got all the so-called gangbangers, street organizations. We asked them to come to the barbershop. Because the barbershop is where we all meet. The politicians, black politicians go there, the banger, the cop. Everybody goes to the barbershop. We said, let's have it at the barbershop. And everybody came. And the love and unity that was expressed at that event. And we want to keep on doing that. It's being done around the country. Because we must take the charge. If it's going to change, it'll be us to change it. Nobody can look for anyone outside our community to go to these young brothers who got their pants sagging and they're selling dope and using guns and all the foolishness. Nobody can get through to them like we can, like we do. And we're obligated to do it. Even if you just give a kind word, it doesn't mean you have to be out there on the front line, but it means that you need to participate and we need to be part of something that's helping to change this narrative. This is one of the things, this forum. Dr. Rogers and what he does, all those who are part of this network, a time for an awakening, are participating in some way, shape, or form in a manner that changes the narrative, first of all, in our minds, and then ultimately that is expressed outwardly. And we can see the outward manifestation in our personal lives, in our family lives, and otherwise. And so I need to hear from the men. What are your thoughts about what we said, about what the sisters have said? Sisters, again, took the night. Can I hear from you, brothers? What are your thoughts about what you've heard this evening? Again, quiet as a church mouse. Those of you who are texting us, come on, you can come in live. That's right, we'll unmute you. There's no wrong or right answers, brothers. This is a hospital. This is a session where we're just speaking family members to family members. It's all family here. You can share your thoughts about our community, where we must go, where we are. What do you think about the program in New Jersey? Can it be duplicated here? Any thoughts? The lines are open. And now let's move on to the next subject. We only have 15 minutes or thereabout, and I want to thank all of you for being on. And listen, being on tonight, I'm not picking on us. Please don't ever think that. But as a brother, your brother, I engage us because I'm engaging myself. When I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself too. I'm asking myself, Brother Lance, what are you doing? And then I'm saying, hey, for example, my associate, Mr. Dudley, I'm sure all of you, many of you know Mr. Dudley of Dudley Products, the founder of it. It's 84 now. He said to me, he said, Brother Lance, I got to do more. Well, Jesus Christ, brother, you've done, around the world. What more do you want? But there's more we got to do to get through our people, get through to our people. So he certainly, we all bought his products, the sisters bought products, that kind of, but my point is his work ethic, his desire to want to see us in a better position than when he came here. And that's love. That's love for self. Any good father wants to see his children in a better condition than when he came in this world. He wants to leave them in a better position than he had. And so we all have to be fathers in this community. That's a reality, whether we like it or not. What will be your narrative when you, when we're laying horizontal there, brothers and sisters? What will be our narrative? What will they say? What was your contribution to the overall community? What was your contribution to yourself, to your family? These things we got to think about. None of us want to leave here while I paid the rent. And okay, and we all did that. Bought a car, put some food on the table. What then? And so I'm asking us to look in the mirror, man, invite others on. Let's have this real discussion. No, tonight we talked about communities. How do we get back? Do we need communities or do we just keep these neighborhoods? And we don't even know the neighbors in many cases. And we survive this. Our socioeconomic practices. Do we have them? Can we expand upon them? I'm surprised there's no thoughts at all, just the sisters sharing. No thoughts at all from the men. I know you know, brothers. And the sisters would love to hear from you. Yeah? What are our socioeconomic practices? Do we have any? In your neighborhood, do we have any? Do you go to stores that are owned by blacks? Are you supporting them? Are they supporting you? I know it's rough. I don't mean to throw off on anyone. But I'm asking you the questions because I'm asking myself the questions. And then I'm seeking answers. I'm not the best knowers, and it's the community that I go to. I go to the community to ask these questions in hopes of getting answers. Because we have to talk to each other. Not at each other, to each other, like we've done tonight. But next week, Thursday, 7 p.m., same time, we want to have more brothers. I want to talk to the men. Otherwise, if we don't get ourselves together, what good are we to our wives, children, girlfriends, whatever? And those of us who think we know, have a duty to pass it on to the next generation. All of us have become Martin Luther Kings now. Who's your black leader today? Where is your black leader? Who? Obama? No, today is every one of us have a measure of responsibility, whether you accept it or not. Years is going to fly past, brothers and sisters. You're going to be the majority in this country. So the reality of another black president is imminent. It's for sure. It won't be this Obama type. No. And so we got to think. We got to think about these things. Where do we go? Is it Afrocentric? Is that the direction? There'll be some of the, because we're all over the place as a people. Is it Afrocentricity? Is it African thought and African culture? And is it somehow a medley of both? Or, I mean, we better have this discussion. Otherwise, nothing changes. Everything stays the same. Everything stays the same. You might get to school in New Jersey. It may be just a one-off. We'll see how that works out because I'm sure there's going to be forces that come against it. Particularly if those students start showing examples of excellence and knowledge and brilliance. Oh, the system will come out and want to shut it down. We've seen it over and over again in Durham and Greensboro, different places. And so we want those scholars, we want our thinkers, we want our thought leaders to be on the line. We want to hear from you so we can take notes and cause other men and women, brothers and sisters, to start thinking critically about where they are, who they're associating with, what we're doing. What are you talking about in your conversation? We say that we deal with that in business sometimes. We're doing the mastermind meeting, you know. Because that's about business, we're talking about business-related items. How do you conduct business? How do you overcome objections? How do you sell? How do you price? How do you market effectively? Not just market, but market effectively. Do you support other businesses? So all of these questions. And if we do, we need to continue to do it and then talk about it and expand it out. Like our brother has the network, African, well, they sell African products online. Our brother, I'll put his name up on our website, Melanin Live website, where they're selling all kinds of products. But it's Buy Black. But my point is, their mind has changed. They're doing something about it. Certainly, we support Black-owned businesses. Safe and Secure has invested in other businesses, janitorial, Reaching for Eternity janitorial services. We have Think It Through mediation services out of New Jersey. We're putting our money where our mouth is. Put our mouth where money is. Not just talking this thing. That's why it's so critical that we have these discussions. The only way it's going to change, brothers and sisters, if we change it. Not talking about you have to put thousands of dollars, $2,000, $4,000, whatever you can afford. Invest in some business. Let's grow these businesses across the country. Whatever city you're in, let's get a business going there. Support them, at the very least. Let's see if we can't implement. Let's take this model from Jersey and let's see if we can't help. At least introduce it to the school system where you are. Examine it. You may have something to add to it, take away from it, whatever, but let's get busy doing something. Let's just not have, it's sort of like having these meetings, and you have a meeting every day or every week, and the same people come, then you ask them what, so even in the entrepreneurship meetings, people have been coming for 3, 4, 5, years. I hadn't got the business started yet. So this devil has done a hell of a job on us. This guy has stagnated. Boy. But I hope I haven't offended anyone tonight. But when I'm talking, I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself. I want to make sure that I'm shook up. I'm fired up about getting something done. Sometimes I can't even sleep. Idea comes to me, I get up 3 a.m, write it down, and keep it moving. We all have to be that way about our survival, about the survival of our children, our wives, our girlfriends, our grandchildren. If you don't do it and I don't do it, who's going to do it? Who is going to do it? And I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself. And that has fueled me. Talking to myself, it's therapeutic for me. Maybe you need to take up some of that yourself. Talk to yourself. Where am I? Look in the mirror. Where am I today? What have I done? And if an 84-year-old man could look at me and say, I got to do more. He was on the show here. You heard him. I got to do more. He's always got these meetings. But he went from $10 to $40 million a year. It ain't the dollar amount that I'm focusing on, but his mind had to change. He had a 4th-grade education. So anything and everything is possible if you believe. So if you believe that our community needs a change, if you believe that the time is now, that it's a critical time, then Max and us will be on here again next Thursday, 7 p.m., 7 to 9, Melanin Live, and engage the conversation. Bring something to the table. Let's take it back out and give it to our children, our grandchildren, and other listeners. Let's expand this format. As I come to a close, I want to thank all of you for being with us tonight here on Melanin Live, and I want to let my sister Lisa close us out. And Until next time. Peace.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. But just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now. Just you and me.